personal stamina. I know it takes a lot of energy to continue to come to as many meetings as we're having. But we believe that God has much for us to contemplate, to chew on, and He has much more that He wants to speak to us. We knew that as we were seeking the Lord about these meetings, that God was going to do something very particular and very special during this time. And we had originally planned for 2 meetings a day, but we felt because of the strength of the message and the need for us to use our time wisely in this hour, that we needed to have these extra meetings. So we are grateful that you are willing to persevere, that you are willing to participate. We have a need for each and every individual that is here. You know, the men that come and share with us don't share out of their intellect. You understand that? There's no brother that has planned a word, that has gone and sat in his study and written down notes and stood in front of his mirror and practiced or determined that, oh, I should say A, B, or C because I want to hit this point or that point that brother so-and-so has a problem with or sister so-and-so is really out of line on. No, they don't do that. They prepare before God, preparing their souls to hear the voice of the Lord. And as we are gathered here together, and as we are focused on God, and opening up our hearts to God, opening our lives to God, opening our soul to Him, they are able to draw strength and receive that which God wants to give unto us. And so it's important that as we are here, even though our body may be a little bit weary or a little sore in one spot or another, that we overcome that, that we ignore it, that we say, no, I'm not going to yield my members. To anything other than the Spirit of the Lord. And we are very grateful for each one of you, and I know for a number of you that it is difficult to have just being seated here for as many hours as we are seated. So we thank you. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you that as we enter into a time of worship this afternoon, that we open our hearts to the Lord, that we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. God still has much that He wants to speak to us. He has a very important message that He wants to bring to the church. You know, if we listen carefully, we find that God gives us the keys to open the doors that are blockages in our souls. He said that He came to set the captive free. And I know that this fella has captivities in his soul that he wants to be set free from. And I'm believing that God is going to put His key into that lock and open the door, and then walk down and put it into the next lock and open that door. And I want to be able to go through. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we are very, very grateful to You that You have ordained this time, that You have given it unto us to participate in. We are grateful to you, Father, that you have been willing to continue to speak to us. We're asking, Lord God, that you would indeed, even now, send the blood that our souls could be washed and cleansed, purified, sanctified, that these vessels, O God, would just get out of the way and allow for your Spirit to flow in such a manner that it floods our soul and touches those places of our minds, our will, our emotions, and our desires. God, that you might have the preeminence, that you might be able to sit upon your throne between the cherubim. God, we are grateful to you that you long suffer us and that you continue to keep us. We thank you, O God, that your good pleasure is to glorify your Son in us. We thank you, Lord, that you are for us and not against us. We thank you, my God, that you will indeed, even in this very hour, fill this place with your presence. You will flood our souls with your life. You will indeed bring forth the resurrection power that is Christ Jesus into the midst of our souls. We thank you, my God, that you will touch us in these mortal bodies and bring the healing, bring the strength, bring the vitality, that Christ might be glorified. We thank you, Lord, that you will deliver from bondages, from dark and deep bondages. God, we are grateful to you that you have come indeed, hallelujah, to set the captive free, to open the eyes of the blind, to make the lame to walk. God, we are grateful that you are even in this hour moving in the midst of a people, and we are that people in the earth, that you are allowing us to be a part of the body of Christ, that we can run in the earth, O God, with you, not running to and fro as a man, but running the race, hallelujah, that has been set before us, even enduring, my God, the suffering and the shame as Christ did. God, we are grateful that you have set this path before us. And we are grateful to you, Father, that you will guide us and direct us along that path, because you are the great shepherd. And so, my God, we pray that even now, you would come and have the preeminence in this place. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in our midst, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you. verse I'd like to teach us, and it says, "I've been redeemed by love divine." You know, I love this chorus because it speaks of the love of God and what He has done for me. It has nothing to do with who I am or what I have done or anything I've done for myself, but it has everything to do with Him. Because this is all about Him, amen? I mean, it's not about you. It's not about what you can do. It's not about what you can't do. It's not about what you can do to gain favor. But we have been blessed by the love of God. Amen. It is the love of God that reached out into the pit of hell where we were bound. And it was the love of God that drew us. Amen. It was the love of God that caused us to come to that river and to drink of the river of life. Amen. It was the love of God. Amen. The fear of God got me on the right track, but the love of God kept me there. Amen? Amen? Because it's love that's drawing me. I was raised by a father that instilled fear in me. Okay? But that fear only lasted while I thought he was around to enforce it. But when I could get out of his sight, I did what I wanted to do. Okay? Fear will work in a measure, and it's the beginning. It's the beginning. Sometimes we need to know. We need to be shaken. Amen? But it's the love of God that will keep us. It's the assurance that He loves us beyond measure, regardless of what we have done or what we have not done. Amen? It's the love of God. God so loved that He gave. And He gave. And He gave. Amen? He continues to give because He loves us. And you know what? That's all you can do. Amen? You have been bought with a price. He said, "I am the light of the world." But then he said, "You are the light of the world." And that vision that Brother Campbell had, that man was carrying the light. Amen? And we've been given the light to carry it into the darkness. But as he did that, he became the light.
Amen.
I want to become the light.
Amen.
I don't want to just carry the light. I don't want it just to be something that I do. I want it to be something that I am.
Amen.
And
Amen.
It's the love of God. It's the love of God that is going to draw the brokenhearted. It's the love of God that's going to motivate you to go to places that you don't want to go. To reach into places that you don't want to be involved in. It's the love of God. And if you realize what He has done for you, amen, and to the depths and to the measure that He went for you, you begin to give what He has given to you. You know, if you're given something that you don't have, you're a thief. Okay? Because you're taking something that you don't have and you're giving it. But if you give what you have, and you have the love of God, for He freely gave it to you. Amen? And that can be a handshake. It can be a smile. It can be a word of encouragement. Amen? You don't have to point out what I'm doing wrong. I probably already know that. Huh? But a word of encouragement, you can do better. You can do it. Amen? That love that lifts us, that love that strengthens us. Amen? That's why you're here. Amen? That's why you're here. Because of the love of God. Amen? Amen. And it says, "I've been redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign." Hallelujah. I have been redeemed. That's it. Say this short song. I'm gonna go here.
I love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been. Thank you.
Thank you.
God.
Let's just wait a moment. Quiet before the Lord. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus, we bless your name. We praise you and magnify you. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name today. We thank you, oh, great and mighty God, gracious, hallelujah, and wonderful. We bless you today. We thank you, oh God, that you have condescended to come, not only amongst men, but within men. Father, we pray for the anointed ear, God, that we might hear clearly what you are speaking to us individually. And as a people, oh God, deliver us from the periphery where many of us have lived our lives, God, that we might find that place. He said, Martha, Martha, there are many things that encumber you, but there is one thing that is necessary. Oh, Lord, that we might find that one thing and even be as Mary said, that's what she was desiring and it would not be taken from her. Oh, God, that overshadowing of your presence and that mighty anointing and the fire of the living God might be within us. Unquenchable. Father, that we might do, amen, that what you have birthed us to do. Hallelujah. We sing, I was born to be thy dwelling place, a home for the presence of the Lord. Let my life now be separated unto thee, that I might be what I was born to be. That's my cry. My God. I pray that you have your way in the time that we have remaining. God, that you would continue to move and thread the thread that goes through our hearts. David said, the highway to your city runs through my heart. Let it be so among us, O God. Hallelujah. That it's not just words on paper or something that's vocalized, but an abiding reality, operational in our lives. We pray, God, for your anointing upon our brother as he brings the word. God, anoint him mightily and anoint our ears that we hear very clearly that which God will speak to us in this moment of time. We praise you and magnify you. We love you today, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. Oh, my God, we bless you. We give you glory and honor. We praise you and magnify your name. We say you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we give you preeminence. We ask God that you move in the midst of your people today. That you anoint the word. That you anoint the hearer. And Father, that we might be what you have declared that we are. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's our desire and our cry. Have your way today, Lord Jesus. Glorify your name in the midst of your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Where is Brother Martin? Oh, there he is. Are you ready, brother? Hallelujah.
Lord. Where's the rest of me?
Hallelujah.
Good afternoon, everybody. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I can't help but before I share something, I let my... Okay. So let me give space for my wife to say hello, and if she's got something on her heart to share. Are you giving her something? Or?
I'm so blessed. You know, Mahomet is our home. We feel like home. We always longed and desired what you have, and, you know, envied you over the seas, all the anointed ministry and everything, and the ministry came to us, and we are so very blessed to be partakers of this word. And just a little thought that came to me just before we left Czech. We had the last meeting in Prague, and a song came to me to sing out of the blue. It was a day in early springtime, and I was thinking, oh, wedding song. Hope nobody will get offended in our church that I'm thinking somebody should get married. But I said, brethren, I don't know why to sing it. Oh, let us sing it. So we sang the song, and you know the song, everybody, right? And when we finished the song, Sister Sonia got up, dear sister in our fellowship, and she said, I wonder what is the Eliezer's call? What are we singing about? So I opened my Bible, she said, and I went to the story and I read it. Whatever was Eliezer saying? And the only thing that he was really saying in the story was this. Well, I won't find it so quickly, but it says, when she comes and I'll ask her to give me drink, she will say and she will be willing to give drink even to my camels. That's all Sister Sonia said, and she sat down, and it did like in my head, and I understood the message. The qualification for the bride was to do more. Amen. To be willing to do more. I don't know if you are hearing this, brethren. It was never said. It was something that was just said in the spirit. It was something she had to be in place to be able to catch the thought in the spirit. And the moment I realized that the willingness is something that qualifies the Holy Place Church. It is a character that cannot be explained. It is nothing nobody can dictate you. It is nothing nobody can force on you. It must be your free will decision. And she was willing. Praise the Lord. She was a good example to us. So let us be willing. That's all I wanted to say today. Let us be willing to change. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. You know, this conference is very interesting in a way that there are a few thoughts. I was afraid I'll be called to speak, and here it is. So I had a few thoughts as the time went, and as I'm, you know, put it on my paper. I usually have it just not to feel as nervous, and then I read the first one, and then I'm gone, and I never come back to it. But I have it, so as I'm having my little paper there, and I hear Brother Bert, and he mentions a scripture, and he mentions a theme and topic. I go, okay, this is gone. Okay, this one is gone. This one is gone. Then I had Brother Jokes. Half of my list was shrank, you know. And Brother Campbell took the rest of it. I'll see what I'll do. And then I wanted to greet you and say how I appreciate I have you all. And my wife took it. So, praise the Lord. Let me just maybe repeat it if you don't mind. I'm so very blessed, and you know, I don't know if you really would ever comprehend how blessed we are that we have you guys, you know, over the years. And standing here, it's like a holy place, you know, one doesn't want to touch it really. because it is, you know, I mean, this is from where the word has been coming, and you know, observing you and watching in all the years, and I know I'm saying it, but I think you need to hear it, so I will keep saying it. So we appreciate all the labor of love you've done and what you do and all the things you are doing for, you know, for now it's Philippines and Africa, you know, and Czech as well. We do appreciate it, and you know, it's really, really important for many lives. You don't know how many lives you are touching just by holding these conferences, being faithful, striving through, you know what I mean? And doing all these things, it is greatly appreciated. We would not be here. So the word God is speaking, if you are not really deaf, it's changed, isn't it? Amen. And I can't help it. I cannot just come and bring my few notes and, you know, ignore what God is saying. And by the way, that was the, you know, little title I gave to the thoughts I would speak about, change. Amen. So God is God, isn't He? Amen. God is God, and you know, there is something we sometimes miss in the change. Let me go to scripture which was mentioned here already. It's in Luke 5:37. And it says, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man, maybe that's it. So, what I am seeing is, in the scripture, what God has put on my heart, that was the scripture He spoke to us to share. And the word is, there's a new wine. Amen? That's the good news. There's a new wine. And it seems everybody desires it. Okay? Everybody desires the new wine. Amen? But there's a problem there. We also would like to remain the old vessel. You know what I mean? The old vessel. The problem is there. We have this belief and we try it over and over and over to try to have both. I want to remain who am I. I want to remain my old ways. And try to take the new wine with it. And you know, we do not realize that eventually, not only it won't help us, it won't bless us, but it'll destroy the vessel as well as spill the wine. And we've seen it over and over, haven't we? Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's the... It kind of seems to me like that's the core of the battle of this hour. You know, the people are hearing the new word. And they are excited. Or at least, they say, yes, it's good, I want it. And now, the question is, can I, however, keep my old ways? And there is this tension. You know what I mean? Because if you didn't have this word at all, and you had your old ways, you'll be all set till you end up in hell. You know what I mean? If you, however, had this word and you had new bottle, surprisingly, you would not be fighting so much. You know what I mean? It would not be such a pain. You know, people say, it is so difficult. This word is sometimes so heavy. But that's not what the Bible says. Take upon you my yoke. My yoke is easy. The word in the Greek means gentle. Did you know that? The Lord is saying, take upon you my yoke. My yoke is gentle. So the way how you should feel this word, this message, these requirements, should be gentle. Did you know that? So what's going on? What's wrong here? What's the trouble when sometimes I hear and people say, you know, this is heavy. This is heavy to hear. You know, I mean, there's so many requirements. You know what I mean? Like the dress. Have you ever heard a bride to complain about wearing a dress? Have you ever say, you know, by the way, I think it's a doctrine of your church. I don't think you're aware of it. Okay? But a doctrine of your church is, if the bride is getting married, she would dress up beautiful, long dress, beautiful white, isn't it? Yeah, perhaps you never said it as a doctrine, but you live it, don't you? And you know why you don't? Do you know why you don't know that it's your doctrine? It doesn't bother you because you want it, you like it. It's part of you. You know what I mean? You want to please your husband. You want to be beautiful. You know what I mean? It is no pain, ladies. Was it suffering saying, "Oh no, because of this doctrine, now I have to wear this white dress"? Was it ever? No. Was anybody complaining? I don't think so. You know what I mean? What's the difference? What's the difference? Because you love the husband. And actually, you love it. You know, it was gentle requirement, wasn't it? And actually, it was something that was like the new bottle. Yes, it came, and it met with the love in you. It says, "Honey, whatever pleases you." You know what I mean? And there's so many other things you would do for your wife or husband. You know what I mean? Because there's this, "Honey, I love you." Amen? And you know, there's no pain. Okay, let's go to finances. We covered the dress now, didn't we? Okay, so let's go to finances. Who of you, raise your hand, whoever struggled and said, "Oh no, I'm giving too much to my children"? No hands? Oh, come on. I mean, they're demanding this and this and that and here and there. You know what I mean? Have it ever crossed your mind to say, "Oh, come on. I mean, God, what is the percentage of my salary I should give to my kids?" You know what? You've got another doctrine you are not aware of. And this is, give everything. Isn't it? Wouldn't you give, Peter? Wouldn't you give everything? Wouldn't you lay your own life? Wouldn't you take off your tie and give it to your son or grandson or somebody? Without hesitating, without asking. You know, I don't need to tell you, you know, give 1 out of 10. Do I? No. I mean, even if I have none, wouldn't you share? I mean, you have your jacket. You know, you are walking, your wife didn't take one, it's raining, she's shivering. What would you do? Naturally, take it and put it on her, wouldn't you? Because it's your doctrine. It's in a Mahomet Fellowship Constitution, point 37, thou shalt give, thou shalt do. You know what I mean? You don't need it, do you? You don't need it. And you're not questioning it. You're not fighting with it. You know what I mean? Because there's something in you which does it because of the love. And you know, I believe one of our problems is we are old vessels. We still believe. I don't know why do we. You know, we should be giving a tour, you know, to churches and to world. You know, next Sunday there will be bus and we go to see a world. I don't know. You know, something like this. You know, and we should go and have a, like you had to this creation center or whatever. You know, get a bus, go to the world, go to bars. You know, go to all this, have all the people, you know, struggling and fighting, and you know what I mean. Just have a tour and say, anybody interested? You know what I mean? I don't know what is there. I don't know what people are talking about. You know what I mean? We have to come to church. We don't have to, but we can. You know what I mean? It is not something. I feel so sorry. I feel so sorry for people. I honestly do. I'm not joking. I feel sorry for people who believe that there is a list of requirements. You know what I mean? That there is a list. New Testament, oh praise God, it's smaller than the old one or something like this. You know, that there is a list of things. You know, and especially the Mahomet Fellowship, I mean, even make it bigger, you know. If there is this idea that all these things we have to do, you know what I mean? I feel so sorry, because it must be a miserable life. Miserable Christian life. Isn't that, how do you call it, oxymoron?
Yes.
miserable Christian life? It was never intended so. It was never intended that in us we would have all the time the tension. Oh, I would love to do this, but I can't since I'm Christian. You know what I mean? This yoke which God is putting on us is easy. Parents, do you find it difficult to put your kids to bed and pray with them? Do you find it difficult to love them? Do you find it difficult to share your finances? Wouldn't you cut a piece of your steak and share it? You know what I mean? And you don't find it difficult, do you? You know, what we are missing is the relationship with the Father. It's the relationship with God. It's, you know, the problem is we haven't fallen in love. You know, or if we had, we've forgotten it. Now, quoting Revelation here a bit without planning it. You know what I mean? So, one of the troubles is, I mean, I don't know if it will release you, but there is no list of requirements. Amen. There's actually only will of the Father for you. You know, and we are not walking in certain dress or doing certain things because this is what is, you know, this is mandated or required or something. But, you know, don't you come, husbands and wives, don't you come sometimes, you know, in the morning and say, what do you think? How do I look? Is it okay? Yeah? You know, especially wives. Isn't it? Can I wear this skirt? I say, yeah, it's okay, honey. She would come in 5 minutes. What about this one? It's okay, too. You know? And we go through a circle and then we end up with the first one. But it's okay. That's, you know, I take it on me. I don't say it often enough. You look great. So, you know, that's something there. And you know what I mean? If she would put something on and I said, no, I don't think so, she would not wear it. Why not? Why not? She loves me and she cares that she wants to please me. You know what I mean? I mean, if I don't like it, why would she do it if it doesn't please me? And she cares for me. You know, that's the condition. That's the part of this. You know, she cares for me, she loves me, and she wants to please me. You know, and I want to please her. You know what I mean? So in the same way, we should come before God, and I'm not preaching dress. If you think I'm preaching dress, that's too sad. Okay? I'm preaching God. I'm preaching love. I'm preaching the law, if you want. Okay? Because it's a good. Yeah, it's a good stuff. But the thing is, I come before God and say, God, are you pleased in the way I'm dressed? Is it pleasable? Is it the way you're pleased, or am I ashamed to you? You know what I mean? And that's my motivation. You don't need to tell me. You know, you don't need to come and tell me and say, you know, Martin, don't do this and do this and do this and do this. You know, I mean, you could, but if I wouldn't understand it, perhaps I would obey. You know, now I would. Then, yeah, perhaps it would take me a while there. You know, I remember, I know you do, at the first conference, I wouldn't call it shorts. Brief is too long. Anyway, there was something there, okay? Don't get me wrong. But you would have to be searching for it for a while, okay? And I didn't know better. You know, I didn't know any better. And I said, you know, I mean, come on. They are saying that, you know, Brother Dusale was there and he mentioned it. And he was saying that, you know, it can be a stumbling block for somebody. Stumbling block for somebody. I'm not sure. Perhaps that's his problem more than mine. Anyway, don't you think? You know. Well, you are laughing. Okay. And, you know, I prayed and I said, okay, brother, so let me pray. And I prayed, God, I mean, show me. You know, I need to understand why. I mean, what's the deal? Come on, it's summer. You know. And no, we didn't have AC. You know, so, well, anyway. And there was a brother who came after a meeting and says, you know, I was delivered from homosexual spirit. Okay, and it says, and you're not helping me at all. You know, and you know, I believe if you don't know the why, the what will not last for long. You know what I mean? You know, so it didn't. No, I. That was my question resolved. You know what I mean. And God is able to answer your question. He's able to answer your request, isn't he? You know, the thing is, I have fallen in love with God. I don't know how it happened, maybe because I didn't have father, or maybe because I had too many, you know, which both is true, you know. Maybe finally there was somebody. Finally, Father came to my life and he was sharing and speaking. You know what I mean? And Jesus was teaching me, and I have fallen in love with him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I'm there, perhaps beautiful weather like this, and I'm sitting there on a weekend, since morning till evening, and I'm just, you know, with my Bible and things, and I'm writing and listening, and God speaks to me, and my brother comes, you know, in the morning, and he comes in the afternoon, and he comes in the evening, and I say, are you still sitting behind this table? I mean, it's beautiful weather, why don't you go somewhere? Where? I mean, somewhere. Like where? Yeah, I mean, go to have a dinner. Oh, like with whom? Or, you know, I mean, go, or you can go on a beach, to beach, and say, you know, I don't know if I could perhaps go to beach, but I don't know. You know, there's all this sand, and I think it'll mess with my Bible and papers. You know, it goes. You know, maybe you know, nobody in the church told me I should do this. They didn't have to, because I was interested, I was in love. You know what I mean?
Amen.
You spend time, if you are in love, you perhaps exchange letters and you read it. You know what I mean? And now, imagine somebody would come and tell you, you know what? I mean, if you are, you know, I mean, a man, one thing you should do, and you should do it regularly, you should read the love letters. Have you ever been told this? You know, you better do. I know you're not reading your love letters. You know what I mean? We were not told, were we? Why would we? The letter came, you open it, you know what I mean? He opened it, and he said, what is it? Oh, yes. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? You're interested, because you are in love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you understand the point? You know, what I try to say? Do we have to be taught to read our Bibles? You know what I mean? Do we have to be taught? And you know what's the difference? I think there's a difference in generations. Forgive me. But there's a little difference. There are people who came and heard this word from outside. You know what I mean? We were sinners doing things. I was saved before I was. I heard this word. I was, you know, I was not Christian. I didn't believe in God. I could do anything I want. My mother suggested, you know, the best way to go around is, you know, to go and pick a girl and try, you know, and then when I have my experience and I can compare, you know, I could perhaps... That's what our parents told us, you know, so, you know, perhaps very different to what your parents are telling you, right? So, I hope. So, you know, in a principle, we heard his word, we met Jesus, we are walking with Jesus, we love the Lord... You know, we love this word, and we would love to come to church and hear more and read more, you know what I mean? And be interested and share it and put everything we had. You know what I mean? And then the brethren would come and we were so excited and we would do anything we could. And we still are trying to. You know what I mean? And then, there are people who maybe are born into the church, in a way. Or maybe they meet it differently. You know, they meet the word differently. And there is a great misunderstanding there. I talked to certain people and there's a great misunderstanding. They didn't realize or forgotten or something has happened that the love of Christ has not been fully transferred. Or it was not understood. It's taken for granted. You know what I mean? And then it's kind of slowly taken away. And it's not there. And you end up with a list. And you don't know why. You know what? You know a lot of what's, but you don't know the why. You know what I mean? And I feel so sorry. I say, you know, God, if we could, and maybe we should strive for it, maybe we should try better, maybe we should ask the Lord, and we are. Don't take us wrong. You know, we are trying to say, Lord, how can I share the love? How can I make somebody in love?
Amen.
Because if you are not, and if you won't be, if you don't see God, if you don't love God, the yoke is not easy.
Right. Amen.
It's a heavy burden.
Yes, sir.
and you are burdened and burdened and more burdened, and the people who are sharing and you know, sharing this and this, and God showed, and the time is coming, you know, and all this, and we should be traveling, and we should be putting more money, I say, what's next? You know what I mean? The parents, they wouldn't. You know, change the diaper, do this, do this, do this, do this. You know what I mean? But it's not, there is not this feeling, oh my, what else is required? You know what I mean? Because your heart is set right. You know the why. You know? So the word is saying that nobody puts the new wine into the old bottle. And if you feel in you, in yourself, the tension, you know, if you feel like the burden is heavy, if you feel, you know, there are all these things you should and must, you know what I mean? Go to God and say, God, I need to find you. You need to find him first. Otherwise, I can guarantee you, and I feel very sorry, if I could help you with the burden, but the burden won't be light. And maybe at the end, it'll cause you to wander away. I hope for a while. You know, some people are not here. And I didn't give up. You know what I mean? I didn't give up. I didn't give up. We are praying because they belong here, and they will be here. You know what I mean? Perhaps because of some confusion, perhaps of some misunderstanding, perhaps of whatever, you know, the people have wandered away. But I do believe they will be coming, and we need to keep praying. Don't give up. I mean, the it's not out of sight, out of mind, is it? But it won't be. You know what I mean? There's people, and we had people who were gone, they went out of churches, and they came back after year 2, 3, 5, 10, 12, 15. You know, I would say, am I exaggerating if I say at least half of the fellowship, if not two-thirds, have left and came back? We have about maybe two-thirds of the fellowship over the years left us and came back. You know, they came back because they've been there, and they went to Baptist, and they went to there, and they went to there, you know. And then they came back, and they says, well, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? So don't give up. You know, let's keep praying. And let's request and say, God, meet with them. Because if you personally meet with them, you know, you will draw them to yourself.
Amen.
You know, I mean, being in this fellowship is just a side effect. Natural side effect of walking with God. You know what I mean? It's very impossible that you would be walking very closely with God and he would not draw you to the very brethren he's delivering the last word. You know, and if you think this is just a, you know, an average word, you perhaps need to visit here and there. I don't do it very often, but sometimes it happens. You know, and one forgets. You know, one forgets. So you come, you're somewhere, there's nowhere else, you know. So you go to church to visit, you know, say, well, I'm in this city, so let me see on Sunday morning, you know. You come there, you look pretty good like you. You know, they look about the same, and sometimes they have more ties, sometimes less ties. It depends on the fellowship, you know. So you feel good about it. You sit down, you know, they have a good chairs, and you know, and the people are very nice and smiling, and you feel very good, and they give you free chips or something like this, and or cookies here, you know. They do. Coffee, yeah, they do. You know, very generous. That's nice. I'm no problem with coffee, you know. And you come there, and then it starts. You are thinking, it starts. You are thinking and say, oh, is it for real? You know, and they praise and whatever they call, yeah, they call it praise. You know, and this thing is happening, and you know, it's happening and all this, and say, oh no, oh really? Oh my, you know. And then you kind of say, well, I mean, the words are about right, so shall I at least speak them out? You know, and you fight there for a while, and do I participate? I don't. Oh no, you know. And then it comes, and then somebody mentioned here, you know, somebody would come and say on this announcement, on this and 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 this. Okay, well, okay. So now we organized. Good. So Pastor so and so will bring the word. Okay. And then Pastor A comes, and Pastor B comes, and Pastor C comes. You know. And then they share the thing. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of hungry, you know, but okay, it was okay. You know what I mean? And you're there and say, and that's it. So then close, and that's it, you know. And you sit there and say, oh my, I think everybody should go, you know, maybe take a bus and do a tour, something like this, you know, that we would start appreciating what we have. You know what I mean? And honestly, it's not in the revelation. It's not necessarily in the revelation. The revelation is a big portion of it. But it's in the depth. You know what I mean? Sometimes you read or hear something and there's different depth. Different depth. It's like if you know this person who's touching the hem of God. And once you get spoiled, I would call it spoiled, isn't it? Perhaps. Once you get spoiled by this, in a good sense, you know, everything else, it's just not enough. Yeah, I mean, what is in it? You're missing something. You know what I mean? But you have people who are sitting on anointed meeting and they say, well, that was heavy. And you wonder what was heavy on us. You know what I mean? What was heavy? And that's the battle of the old belt bottle and the new wine. You know what I mean? So, brethren, I mean, there's no other option, really. I mean, no other option leading to where we are supposed to be, and that's change. We have to decide to change. And you know, if I could do it for you, I would give you at least a day to try. Maybe we should pray, Lord, give everybody here at least a day, especially those who struggle, a day to try to walk free. You know what I mean? You would see how enjoyable it is. If you would be free from sin, if you would be free from the tension, if you'd be free from all these things pulling you down, free from fear, free from anger, free from rebellion. You know what I mean? Free indeed. And this is what God has for you. It's not a list. You actually will be doing the things because they'll be part of you. Maybe you start, say, okay, I shouldn't. You know, but that's not the ultimate goal. You know what I mean? It's not that you don't or do things because they are on the list, but it's because you are changed. Amen. And then you walk free. You know what I mean? I don't need to think, you know, I mean, I'm going to church, so I can't have short. I mean, you know, it doesn't cross my mind. You know what I mean? It's freedom. It's free. I don't need to worry about it. You know, oh, I shouldn't smoke. Yeah, well, I would love to, but I shouldn't. I can't, you know. I mean, at least not in the church. Well, maybe in the front. Well, maybe in the back, you know. I'm not fighting this. Well, actually, this one I was never fighting, praise God. You know, I was never, I was saved young enough, so I didn't have to go. But I know people are. You know, and people are finding strange doctrines. I went to church, and the church was smoking. You know, I mean, outside, of course, yeah. Not in the sanctuary, you know. They didn't call it outer court, but it was outside, you know. And the church was smoking, and I asked them, and I says, you know, I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, you all need deliverance, or you know, what's the deal? I did ask, sorry, you know. And they told me, no, I mean, where in the Bible do you find a scripture about smoking? And I'm thinking quickly in my head, I said, I don't know. See, I mean, you know, I mean, this is just a church doctrine. Oh wow, you know. And I was glad that it wasn't imposed that you have to, you know, but you only can. No, seriously, you know, because people, when they have the trouble, when they have the struggle, they kind of make a strange doctrines, you know, just to give them license, you know, just to give them license. I mean, I want to sin, but I don't want to admit it. We had a couple in our fellowship. They are coming back. We had a couple in our fellowship, and it was a... Perhaps the first people who came and were at least genuine, you know, they wanted to be together, okay? And they came and we said, well, I mean, what do you want us to do? Well, give us approval. And we said, we don't give any approvals. I mean, we don't have any right to give approvals, you know. Do you want us to pray about if it's the will of God? No. Okay. So what is it? I mean, we will do it anyway. Okay. So what do you want us to do? Just give us the stamp of approval. We don't have any. I mean, we can make a rubber stamp, but, you know, we don't have any authority. I mean, where do you find in the Bible that the elders have authority to authorize wedding? You know what I mean? We don't, do we? At least, that's my doctrine. You know, we only... If you come and we call it in Czech, you have all five senses, you would come and you would approach the elders, you know, and ask them for advice, wouldn't you? What do you see? Okay. But if you want to come for a stamp, do you give stamp of approval? No. You don't have any, do you? You know, so we told them, we can't help. And they said, well, anyway, we want to do our thing anyway. Oh, well, that's your right. I mean, you know, everybody can do whatever he wants. And then, but however, they are in the church, it's making confusion. So he says, well, on Sunday, we at least announce and say, you know, for everybody to know that, you know, this is what you are doing, that you are trying to get married and that you want to do it on your own or something. And he says, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You know, not to confuse people. So we say, okay, that's it, you know. So we gave them space. And you kind of expect beating around the bush, and they came and says, you know, we, you know, this is what we want to do, and, you know, we were asked to pray, but we want to do our own thing, you know, and we are actually currently in rebellion, and you know, we want to do our own thing, so we just want you to know where we are. So currently we decided to do things on our own because we desire this more than anything else. And I shouldn't say, I couldn't say it better, but amen, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? But not everybody would come like this and come in front of a church and says, you know, currently I'm kind of desiring the world, you know, so give me a space there for a while. So don't be confused when I come and I look a little different, or that I don't come for a while. You know what I mean? The people, they don't have guts to say it like this. You know what I mean? It's put into different words. You know what I mean? It's put in a, it's, well, actually, you know, the problem is you're being too harsh. Oh, we are so sorry. That's very possible, actually. Honestly, it is, isn't it? Yeah, it's very possible. What should we do about it? You know, where exactly? I mean, where are we harsh? You know, the way you preach? Sure. Like what? You know, like the thing about this? No, we don't preach that. Or, you know, yeah, we preach it, but it's biblical. Don't you think it's biblical? Yeah, but it's harsh. Well, yeah, but shouldn't we preach it in the Bible? You know what I mean? So people come, but often, it's interesting, they come and first, you're harsh. You are, you know, the problem is there's not enough love. That's another one, isn't it? At least for the last 20 years, I've seen it coming over and over and over, you know. So there's not enough love. And again, I think there is never enough love, to be honest. You know, so I do agree. Let's pray for more love. Yes, that's true. Honestly, I really believe it. There's never enough love. I don't have still enough love. So I'm the first repenting. However, how is it making you to leave? You know, and the people leave. The next minute you see them somewhere, you look at them and say, uh-oh. That was perhaps not what you were after, was it? You know, you just wanted to try this out. And you know, in the church you wouldn't feel good. You know, some people come and they say, you know, I cannot come to church and feel good. Okay, why is it? You know, I mean, you know, I feel condemned. Condemned? Like what? You know, for example, you know, when I come and I come in my miniskirt, you know, I feel condemned. I said, well, no surprise. I mean, I don't think anybody's condemning you, honestly. You know, everybody is busy looking somewhere else. But, you know, but you would feel condemned, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm not saying try, but if you strip yourself and walk on the street, the world will be condemning you. You would feel wrong. You would feel bad, wouldn't you? No, so seriously, wouldn't you? So of course, if your environment and the environment believes something and you come and behave contrary, everything speaks. You know, somebody comes and shakes your hand and you believe you interpret a handshake as the person is telling you better change your dress. No, he's not. That's in you. You know what I mean? That everything is in you. It's condemning, it's working on you just because you are in an environment and you know the doctrine. How can we help it? What should we do that you would not feel condemned? I know what we should do. I've got an idea. Well, it's not mine actually, it's the devil's. We should compromise. To make sure everybody feels right, we should compromise on many things, shouldn't we? Yeah? And when we compromise, everybody, and by the way, we will grow. Yeah. Much bigger. Yeah. Great. You know what I mean? But the whole concept is about choose. Choose. You know, don't sit on a fence. Choose. Because if you don't love God, if you do not want the things God is speaking about, and you are still kind of hanging around, the pressure the tension in you, it'll grow and grow and grow. You know what I mean? It'll grow. And the requirements grows. And it will grow. It'll be even more will be demanded. You know what I mean? Actually, everything will be demanded. But it's based on the relationship. And it's based on growing into Christ. So if you don't match the demand with knowing Him, you know what I mean? Not knowledge of Him, but knowing Him. If it doesn't match, if the demand grows and your walk with God doesn't, this creates great tension. It's stress. Yeah, that's it. Stress. So if you feel being stressed, stretched, you know, that's because that's the difference. If I do a little math here, the stress equals the difference between the demand and your walk and love of Christ. You know what I mean? Can you say amen?
Amen.
You know, because in certain things you have no stress. Does it stress you that you don't need, that you can't smoke? It's doctrine of your church, isn't it? Yes, of course. That you don't smoke. Are you stressed about this? You know, the doctrine is another one. Thou shalt not take drugs. Are you stressed about this? Have everybody left? You know, anybody left the fellowship? You are being too harsh. We can't even use drugs. I mean, at least you know the light, whatever they call it, light drugs. You know what I mean? That doesn't bother us. That doesn't create any stress because it's not in us. You know what I mean? It's not in us. But anything which is creating stress, anything you kick against, you realize and find out. You know what I mean? That it's that this is the difference between walking with God. You never heard it from the Lord. You never asked Him. If you went and asked Him about the things and you love Him enough, He would tell you. You find out it's like this. I can walk with God, I can do this thing, I can fulfill this requirement, I can give it away, you know, it doesn't, there is no stress in it, no stretch in it, because it comes out of my pure heart. Do you think, I mean, tell me the person, you know, who was demanded, I'll help you with English, demanded of the most, perhaps. Yeah, most of, okay, who was demanded most of. Who was he? Wasn't it Jesus? The most of. Okay? Wasn't the most demanded of Jesus? I mean the life? The money? If he had any. You know what I mean? He had the power to trigger, you know, to ask the help. He wouldn't. Not only he was left there being murdered, but actually he had the power to stop it. You know what I mean? He wouldn't call for help. That's tough. You know, sometimes you are left in an environment where there is no help. You know, and it's tough. But imagine you are there, you know, you are there to be crucified, to be murdered, and you've got a button in your pocket. And you know, you press it, everybody's gone. Seriously. You know what I mean? And he's there. The thumb on the button, if you want, spiritually speaking, you know, that's what he said. If I wanted, I could call 10,000 angels, you know, and they would rescue me like this. Wouldn't it be glorious? You know, the Romans, they would be surprised, wouldn't it? He says, okay, guys, come. And then all the angels around. He says, how cool, don't you think? You know what I mean? This is sometimes, we would think, but it was demanded of him. You have the power, thou shalt not use it. You know, he was deprived of sleep. I mean, come on, we have right to sleep, don't we? He didn't. You know, he was so exhausted, you know, so he came and he wanted, finally, let me rest. And not only he wanted to rest, you know what I mean, but he was in sorrow. Do you know the story of what I'm talking about, right? Why was he in sorrow? John the Baptist died. He was executed. His cousin, by the way. Yeah? That was his cousin. That was the one. You know? They were very close. I don't know if you realize he was his cousin. You know? I mean, he was his relative. And he was very close. And he was the Elijah spirit. He was the one prophesying. You know? And now you are in a very alien world. Who was there but Jesus and John speaking the same? There was nobody. You know, it was like I'm here, and then down the road there is another, you know, and we speak. Now they execute him. You know what I mean? And I mean, honestly, didn't he have right to sorrow? Truly, you know, I mean, it's my relative. I mean, give me a break at least for now. And I'm so tired, I need to be alone for a while. You know what I mean? But then multitudes would come. They would find him, search him out. No mercy there, you know. And Jesus could say, I mean, Father, listen, you know, I'll be there tomorrow morning. But don't I have the right to mourn now for a while? I need to be alone for a while. You know what I mean? How harsh. Oh no. Do you know what there was? The scripture is, then Jesus seeing the multitudes, he understood he must do it because the Father would kill him otherwise. Oh, sorry. Wrong translation. It's not like this. It would not be in his thinking. What was it? And he saw the multitudes and he had compassion. You know what I mean? And the compassion, the motivation came there. And he wasn't fighting about, well, I need to sleep. So, do you feel it's demanded that there is a... the demand on you is great? No, it's not. It's still not. You know what I mean? But, for Jesus, it was light. You know, the burden. Because of what he's seen the Father doing. You know what I mean? He didn't do anything than what he saw the Father do. You know what I mean? I mean, where were his eyes? Where are our eyes? Are they on Jesus, or are they on all the things we have to do? We are singing. One of the first theme of the songs, if you remember, was magnify the Lord. Wasn't it? The Lord asked me, how do you want to magnify me if I'm, you know, endlessly bigger? You know what I mean? I said, what a thought. Yeah, actually. How to magnify something which has no end? You know? And the Lord says, you know, if you want something to magnify, something to be bigger, you just have to come closer. You know? And I said, oh, what a thought. You know? And I believe if you say magnify the Lord, the only thing you really can do is turn to God and come closer, and he'll become bigger. Not him bigger, but bigger for you. Bigger in your life. You know? Because you spend the time. It changes your perspective. You know? Otherwise, you can have pretty small God. If you are very distant from him and very close to your troubles and problems, you have big problems and small God. It's true. It's true. And you have big demands and small God. You know what I mean? To meet all of those. But if you come closer to God, which kind of means to, you know, be more distant to your problems and all these things. And I'm not saying there's not many. You know. But actually, the garden becomes big and you have life with a big God and small problems.
Amen.
And I'm not belittling the problems. I'm not. Trust me. All right? But the Bible says it, doesn't it? How does it call it? All the little afflictions, isn't it? Light afflictions. Sorry, I'm translating from Czech. So, light afflictions. Oh, I mean, come on, God. You don't understand me. I mean, you're not speaking about me. I mean, yes, I mean, they have light afflictions, but my troubles, come on. You know, I mean, the finances and, you know, all this and the health and the family and the neighbors and, you know, and they don't understand me. Nobody does. You know what I mean? It's as if Jesus wasn't there. But yet, they call it light afflictions. You know why? Because we are distant from them. We spend sometimes too much time looking at all the demands, all the troubles, all the problems, all the situations, and we spend too much talking about it. You know? Yes. And we magnify the problems. Yeah? We should change, maybe. We should change the songs. Magnify my problems. Make the list to grow. Something like this. You know what I mean? Because this is what is happening when we are talking and working on all these troubles and issues and situations. Where is God? Where is God in it? You know what I mean? I mean, he shrank, didn't he? He's small God now. Because we are magnifying everything else but the Lord. And you know, when we speak, shouldn't we, instead of all the troubles, bring the perspective of the Lord. You know, like David did. You know, David came into the camp, and everybody else from 40 days, they're looking at the giant. The giant was every day 3 feet bigger. You know, but seriously, I mean, the problem is, and their soul was smaller, the heart, the courage, if there was any, you know, it was shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. Now David comes, totally fresh view. He didn't do anything but spend the time with a shepherd. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. You know, so not only he was a shepherd there with the sheep, but he's there sitting with the sheep, but he was a sheep being taken care of by the shepherd. So he is there, and all the time, I do believe, going to the camp, he's talking with the Lord. You know, Lord, and what about the lion, and what about this? And, you know, I really enjoyed this lion. That was, it was really, I mean, seeing you, the way you hit him, you know, it was incredible. You know, if you send another one, I don't mind. You know what I mean? I want to see, God, how you solve this one. You know, and then he comes and sees this giant. What is this? Do you hear him, God? I mean, he's laughing at you. I don't think he sees you. You know, if he would, he wouldn't be laughing. You know, he would be running. You know, what about they? What are you doing, guys? Are you afraid of him? What? Our God is bigger. Oh, you don't see God. I see. Oh, you see the enemy. Oh, you see the trouble. Oh, you see the giant. That's what they were doing all the time. You know what I mean? And David comes. I do believe, actually, if David would be there for next 40 days, and he would be looking at a giant, he would lose the courage. You know what I mean? He might have lost the courage. He might, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, we put ourselves into a situation, and the more we look at it, the more we talk about it. Melinda, isn't it true?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We kind of become overwhelmed, you know, and it seems like it's growing. But the Lord says, turn your eyes upon me.
Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know what I mean? Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and you will get different perspective. Joshua, you know, when he came to the promised land, he was the one out of 12. There was two, him and Caleb. You know, they saw the same thing, yet they had different perspective. I asked God, how come? What was different about this guy? He was all the time spending time in the tabernacle. He didn't go back to the camp to listen to the tents. You know, they went in tents and they are talking and murmuring, you know, did you hear about Moses, what he did? You know, wow, I mean, I don't think I can afford it. You know, isn't it a little too much? You know, shouldn't he at least give us something to eat? You know, and all the time these murmurings, you know, and these talkings, he was not part of it at all. And if he was looking at the Israel camp, it was always from the temple, from the tabernacle. Did you know that? Moses was leaving it. Moses was coming to the tents, to the camp. Joshua was not. There's a scripture says, you know, and the young Joshua was staying in the tent. You know, that changed his perspective. In the tabernacle, thank you. So, that changed his perspective. That's the way he was looking at it. And to fight all the enemies, that was not a burden. That would not be a problem. Come on! I mean, God has split the Red Sea. God has made miracles. You know, God made your mother healthy again. We are there praying for tuberculosis. You know, gone. They say, oh, wow. Oh. And then I've seen the gangrene. You know, we all looked at it and said, oh, no. You know, we would rush her to hospital. You know, I mean, how was it? Was it up to here? You know, it was going black. You know, black, I mean, and red, and you look at it and say, uh-oh, you know, no, she wouldn't go to hospital. You know, and as Mara confessed, you know, all this knowledge and all these things is crossing your mind. I mean, it's not taking long unless God intervenes. You know what I mean? And God comes and touches this and heals her. You know what I mean? Remember, Brother Mark, you were in Czech praying for the sister with a cancer? You know, the doctor says, that's it. We are not doing anything anymore. You know, because we tried and nothing worked, and she had her metastasis. How do you call it? Yeah? metastasis all around her body, you know, and all these things. So the only thing the doctor said, okay, just to ease the rest of your, the short rest of your life, they gave her morphine. You know, she is there at a conference, you know, just using the morphine just to ease her pain, because that's it. The doctor says, that's over. I mean, you know, there's a certain point where the doctors just say, no, it would be only trouble for you to be in the hospital and do more. That's it. It's over. She came asked for prayer. We prayed for her. You remember? We prayed for her. Straight there, on the spot, she was healed. You know, she dropped the medicine. She dropped the morphine. You know, after the conference, she went to doctors, and the doctors said, no traces of cancer. What is it, 15 years ago, I think? And by the way, the cancer was the womb cancer. Yeah. And since then, she's fully healthy. She's got 3 kids. You know. You know, I mean, magnify the Lord. And now tell me any problem that God cannot resolve. Tell me anything God cannot do. You know what I mean? You've got all the burdens, all the things. Isn't God able to take care of it too? You know what I mean? Shouldn't we rather speak about God? Shouldn't we rather be, you know, when we are speaking about a little thing, shouldn't we speak about all these to get the strength? You know what I mean? To encourage ourselves like David did, and then tackle the problems and say, God, you can surely deal with it. You know, you can surely deal with it. I mean, the demands. Look at Jesus. Okay, I'm dying. Somebody was, you know, mentioning it. You know, about dying. Wouldn't that be a moment where you have all the rights to kind of be taking care of yourself? You know what I mean? Be consumed with your own trouble. And I don't want to speak about it lightly. You know what I mean? I don't want to sound like, yeah, that's not a problem. I wasn't there. Okay? So I don't want to take it lightly. On the other hand, I can look at Jesus. And he's in his agony. There was no question whether he's dying. He's hanging on the cross. You know, he's already crucified. It's only a question of short time. You know what I mean? And he's there hanging. And what would be, I mean, come on, give me at least a drink or something. You know, at least feel sorry for me. You know, they left. You know, there he is, mother and John. You know, what crosses his mind? You know, oh, my mother. You know, and by the way, I was told, I don't know, but it seems like it makes sense because I heard it from more sources. The death was actually suffocation, you know, because the problem is when you hang on the cross, you can't breathe. So you have to use all your strength and fight against the pain to lift yourself, to get, you know, to catch breath. You know what I mean? To catch your breath. So the last thing you want to do is to talk, isn't it? You know, you wouldn't want to talk and do things. I mean, I've got my own troubles now. You know, will I catch another one? Or is it the last one? You know, before you suffocate. You know what I mean? You're left. Your father left you. Jesus was not used to this. Father leaving him. You know, there was always, I mean, there were so many situations when there was nobody but him and the father. And now he's alone. That was not an easy situation. You know, he's left by the people, crucified, dying, excruciating pain, catching every breath. Yeah, there's the mother, you know, and he goes and he, you know, makes sure he's taken care of. Yeah, that's the demand too. Add it to the list. If and when you are dying, make sure that your last thoughts belong to everybody around you but not you. You know what I mean? By the way, wasn't he praying for them? You know, God forgive them. Father forgive them. Because they don't know what they are doing. You know, you and you would argue with this. I mean, Jesus, come on. They know what they are doing. You know, they know they've been deciding, you know, that they are nasty and, you know, they've done so, all these things. You know what I mean? But Jesus had different perspective. He says they don't know what they are doing. They are not seeing. If they really knew, some of them, they wouldn't do it. Some of them would, perhaps, you know. But some of them wouldn't. And you know, sometimes when people are nasty at us, and I don't think you've been crucified yet, you know, I would assume. So when people are nasty, sometimes it's not nasty. Come on. You know, you can look at it and say, God, help him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Look at it with this perspective. You know what I mean? He doesn't know what he's doing. And the forgiveness is much easier. You know what I mean? If Jesus was there hanging on the cross praying for the people, you are demanded to do the same. You know, we want to be like God. Can I say it? Okay. Nobody coming. Good. So, there's not many places I can say it without being carried away. You know what I mean? But we want to be like God, right? I'm not saying we want to be God. Is that clear? There's a clear difference, right? Okay. So we'll never become God, but our aim is to be like God. Okay? For example, like this one. When you die, you want to be like God? Pray for them. While they are murdering you. God forgive them since they don't know what they are doing. You know what I'm saying? The demand is great. It is even greater. You know what I mean? Then the two guys picking on him. At the very moment, actually one was. You know. And the other one, you know, and he right there invited him and saved him. Invited him to heaven. Just because he says, remember me. Sure I will. Hallelujah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a demand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now we worry about how, what is the percentage we should give. Come on. You know what I mean? That's out of the talk. That's not even, you know, yes, you're right. That's not New Testament thought at all. It's not. Because New Testament is not thinking like this anymore. It was Old Testament. The New Testament is requiring all because it's understanding that you love God so much that you would give anything. You know what I mean? Out of love. Not because you have to. Honestly, God is not interested in anything like God, let me help you out. You know, that's not about it. It's about us. You know what I mean? But Jesus was the one. And honestly, if you were not touched by God and somebody is asking you for money, you've got a stress between the new wine and the old bottle. You know what I mean? Look at Zacchaeus. Shall we go there? We should, because I've written it down. So, Luke 19:1. Zacchaeus. Oh, Luke, Zacchaeus. So Luke 19:1. And we know the story. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Uh-oh, not there. And he thought to see Jesus who he was. He was interested in Jesus, wasn't he? By the way, Zacchaeus was rejected. Yeah, did you know that? Zacchaeus was rejected by many. Okay. Chief among the publicans, you know what I mean? Not only publican, he was a chief among the publican. Everybody picking on him, you know what I mean? I mean, not this guy. So he went, but he really wanted to see, who is this Jesus? And he was interested. Do you think he was interested in doctrine? No. He was interested in something real. You know, he had his soul too. He had his needs, his heart, you know what I mean? And he's there. I mean, let me check this guy out. But he was short. I can relate. And he couldn't for the press because he was a little of stature, you know. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So can you imagine this rich guy, you know what I mean, climbing, leaving his Mercedes behind, you know, climbing on a tree, you know what I mean, and hanging there on a tree, I want to see this guy. You know what I mean? And he was used to be laughed at, perhaps, you know, very bitter, I suppose. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Jesus knew before he came he would be there. You know, he would look up and saw him. I'm kind of seeing the smile on his face, don't you? You know, he looked and with a warm smile, it doesn't say, but it was the case, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, that means hurry up, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. look at this. He invited himself, and that included the crew. You know what I mean? Imagine I would come, I would knock on your door, you know, and says, hello, by the way, praise the Lord. Before we go to sleep, can I have some dinner too? Yes, that means my whole family. You know what I mean? Zacchaeus, hey, it's down. I'm coming over for dinner. You know? And the shock, you know, the shock of Zacchaeus, where you have the Holy God, God Himself, walking, coming to my house? Do you know who I am? The chief among publicans. You know what I mean? And he comes, and when they saw it, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Oh no, do I have to invite Jesus? I mean, what else is demanded? I mean, come on. I wanted to have a free evening now, you know. And you know how much it is? I mean, yeah, well, Jesus, but okay, Jesus and the 12, but not everybody. Come on. You know. You know what I mean? And but he says joyfully. When you are in the right point, when there is a demand coming to your life, you should receive it joyfully. Amen. You know what I mean? It would be like, Jesus, is there something else I can do for you? Is there another need you have? Is there something I can do for you? You know what I mean? It's not a list. It's not demand. You know, it's Jesus, can I lay down and you step on me? Will it help you? You know what I mean? If it would help you, I can bet with you that I would have a line of elders here who would lay down and let you step on their back. Amen. I know then they would. Yeah. I don't think it would help. Wouldn't you, Peter? You know what I mean? So, is there something we can do? Is there somewhere we can bless you? You know, sometimes you ask for money in a way, I think, it doesn't ring a bell. You know, and sometimes it's difficult for you to give money for Philippines and things where you are not there. You know, I think everybody should go somewhere. You know, everybody should go somewhere and see it. Because when you are there, you are moved. You know, not emotionally. You know, but you are moved. You know, well, is there something I can do? You know, isn't it true, Sister Melinda? Yeah? When you see it, you're moved and you can't help it. You know what I mean? So, I should ask you what percentage of your salary you give. That would be laugh. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it is a serious matter. So, when he came, and he did it joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Religion takes us sometimes, you know, when we think we are holy enough, you know, oh, that shouldn't be done, oh, that shouldn't be the case. You know what I mean? It offends us. It didn't offend Jesus, no. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. What was it? The half of it? Oh no, really? And, that means further on, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And look at what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know what I mean? That's the salvation which came there. You know, if your wallet is still closed, the salvation hasn't come to you yet. You know what I mean? If your heart is still closed, the salvation hasn't come to you yet. You know what I mean? And nobody can take it from you, and nobody will, and nobody should. You know, but God first enters and saves you, and it opens your heart. And because you learn it from the Father, Jesus did the same. Jesus didn't do any single thing without seeing first Father doing it. Amen. You know what I mean? If you don't see Father doing anything, what are we doing? Why are we doing things when we don't know what the Father is doing them? That can be a pretty heavy burden, honestly. You know, I mean, that can be a list. You know what I mean? And we have to be careful. We all struggle with it, don't we?
we hear God saying this and this and this and this. I myself, I'm first, you know. And then you rush. And your calendar's full and your hours are full, you know, and all this. And you look at it, you know. And then sometimes, you know, I say, oh, Father, where are you? And he's standing behind me. So I was kind of wondering when he will ask for me, you know. So, Father, I mean, look at all these things. I says, yeah, I see you're pretty busy, you know. And I say, you know, you see all this? And I say, yeah, but this one and this one, I never asked you to do. Oh, really? You know? You know what I mean? I mean, if you feel that the burden is heavy, double check whether it's God putting this on you. Maybe he wants something, maybe he wants you to carry something bigger than what you are carrying. Maybe you are too busy carrying small things while he wants to put bigger burden on you. Maybe you are too occupied with your own things, not giving him a chance to really use you. You know what I mean? And you're so overwhelmed with a little thing because you carried it alone, while he wants you to carry the real stuff, you know, but he will help you. And you will carry it, and it'll be an easy yoke. Amen? Because you will be motivated by being in love. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand it? I am not, don't get me wrong, I'm not taking any of the demands down. They all are valid, and actually, it's just the beginning. There's more. There's more to be required. There's more to be given. You know, God requires you to give even what you don't have. That goes beyond 100%, and now you're set. Okay? So God requires you to give even more than you have. So you need to pray. And says, God, I need this, and I don't have it. It will not be the fight. Well, God, I mean, I have it, but should I give the portion? It'll actually become the thing, oh, Lord, there's this need, and I would like to be used, but I didn't earn this money. What can I do? And God can give you a job, or he can make a miracle, or he says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. That's not your business this time, this one. You know what I mean? And Zacchaeus, because God came and changed his life, changed his perspective, that opened his box. You know what I mean? And nothing would stop him. It didn't mean anything to him. What about this lady? Let me call her lady. Okay? Who came to the house of Jesus. To the house of the Pharisee, wasn't he? You know? And Jesus is there invited for dinner. You know, political discussion, I suppose. You know? Alright, so let's settle the issue and see. What is your opinion about the Old Testament and particular scripture this and this? And how do you see we are caring about in the temple? You know, I suppose. Or whatever it was. You know? There's discussion there, and this woman comes into the door, you know, broke the protocol, by the way, you know, big time, okay? Perhaps we would find many Old Testament scriptures in a way how you shouldn't touch the priest and things like this, you know. So she broke the protocol in many ways, you know, and she's there crying, and she broke the alabaster, what do you call it? Box, yeah, the alabaster box. Okay, we have a vessel anyway. So the alabaster box, she broke it. I was told, I don't know if it's true, but it sounds good, you know. No, seriously, it sounds right. You know, this was something which the ladies, it was very precious, and the ladies were, you know, kind of saving for it and having it for a marriage. Yeah, very told the same. So you heard about it, right? So that was something which actually for the girl meant everything. You know, she was saving it for the wedding day. You know what I mean? It was everything, all her hopes were there, you know. And you know what kind of woman she was, don't you? Yes. So she still was storing this. There was no way she would get married. You know what I mean? With her history, forget it. You know what I mean? But when she came and she broke it, you know, when she broke it, that means she says, that's all I have. All my hopes, all my history, all my future I give. You know what I mean? She came and she broke it, and she, with her tears, you know, you wouldn't do it, right? Because it's kind of embarrassing, you know. But she was, there was nothing. She was already embarrassed enough, you know, in her life.
But she came, and everything she had, she put on the stake, and she was there. She was crying. Jesus led her. You know what I mean? He let her break the rule because it was genuine heart. You know, and he knew, and actually he led her not only because of her, but because of them. You know, and all the religiousness in the people starts struggling, you know, and fighting. That shouldn't be the case. That shouldn't be. I mean, come on. I mean, do you know? Oh, he lets her touch him. Of course, that was against the Torah. That was against the law, especially being a priest. You know, the high priest Jesus was. She was not supposed to touch him, spiritually speaking. You know what I mean? And even naturally, nobody would let, you know, this type of woman touch a man. I mean, come on. And Jesus is there, you know, he's got his feet, and she's washing them, you know, and he would say, oh, don't worry about it, don't worry about it, you know, it's okay, it's okay. No, he was there, and he knew what it means. Because the way he looked at her, you know, he knew the message, he knew what she's saying. And he knew she will end up there walking with him, you know, and being among the disciples for the rest of her life, you know. And they kind of looked at him and said, if he only knew. Come on, if he only knew. Don't you think he knew? You know. And he turns and says, let me ask you a question. You know, and he speaks the story about the people who were forgiven the different amount of money. And he says, you know, to whom more is forgiven, loves more. You know what I mean? I sometimes wonder if we were forgiven. I sometimes wonder if we were forgiven. If we have even realized we should be forgiven. I don't know. You know, maybe it'll sound strange. Maybe you'll say I'm proud, okay? But I'll say it anyway. One of the things I don't struggle with too much is pride. Now I'm proud, huh? And you can ask, how come you don't struggle with pride? Because I know myself. I know myself too well. You know what I mean? I really don't think highly about myself. Because if you leave me without God, there would be nothing to desire in my life. You know what I mean? I know my parents, at least some of them, you know. I know my grandparents, I know the history. I'm not proud of it, and I would become like this or even worse. I know it. Yes. I would be married not only once. You know what I mean? I would be divorced, married, I would mess up my life, I wouldn't be able to take care of the kids. I would not do well. I know it. You know what I mean? I'm not saying because I should. I know it. Okay? I was heading to destruction, and you know, I always had a potential. You know, God put some gifts in me. So, you know, once I was taking, before I was saved, I was talking to a teacher on a basic school. He says, Martin, you are dangerous. Why? He says, you know, because who you are, and you are clever. That's dangerous. You know what I mean? So, I would be able to hurt people. You know, I know it. I was there. I actually did. You know, fortunately, I was just a young boy, so there was nothing serious. But, you know, we played. I didn't have mercy. You know what I mean? It wasn't there. No. You know what I mean? So, if God wouldn't stop me, and you know, somebody maybe is thinking about himself and saying, you know what? God kind of looked down and said, hey, look at this guy. He will be very useful. Let me save him. You know? I see differently. I think God, you know, looked down and said, oh no, let's see this guy. Well, let me better save him before he destroys too many things and people. That's me. I really believe it. I think I had capacity and ability to do a major damage. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying because I should, but I really, honestly believe it. I wouldn't want to meet myself not being saved. You know what I mean? And when you know this, and you know God stops you, he dares to talk to you, you know, and he loves you, and he changes you. Because now, I can't imagine to hurt anybody. I just can't. Not that I would have to hold myself. You know what I mean? But it's so much not me. You know, I can't imagine it. You know what I mean? So I know he changed me. You know what I mean? And if you know this, A, you don't take credit. Because you didn't do much with it. You didn't do much for it. You know, but a second, I love him dearly. God, can I do something for you? You know what I mean? The burden is not heavy. It's not that we suffer. You know, and ask some of the people who travel and who do things. Yes, it's difficult on one hand. On the other, It's not that that God has to fight with them all the time, but there's something inside making them to run. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know what age Brother Dusil was when we were in Africa last time, I'm saying last time, but I think it might have been the only time anyway. We were there, he was older than me, there's no question there, but the way he was running and running and running and running and running, and he was, I was always thinking, what's the engine in him? You know what I mean? What is the engine? And it was not that people came and asked him. He was the one. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, Brother Dusil, in his age, he's got right to rest, doesn't he? Let's face it, We finished one meeting, one place, and it was about 1 o'clock after the whole day traveling. I was kind of glad the meeting is over. I wouldn't maybe admit it, I surely was glad when he finished, But I wasn't glad the way he finished, because he finished the dance as well. I think we need to pray for these people. Even now. That's 1 a.m. Yeah, I think we need to pray for these people. Sure, I mean, the young me, of course, yeah. So we went and we prayed. It wasn't long. It was maybe another hour, so it wasn't bad. So it was 2 a.m. Finally, let's hit the bed. I says, well, I think we need to go out and eat something. 2 a.m. Eat something. Okay. Brother Dusil, I'm not sure I'm hungry, You need to eat something before the elders' meeting. What do you mean, before the elders' meeting? You were there, you remember, right? Yeah. And so we ate at like 3 a.m., didn't we? And then we went to the elders' meeting. Sitting there, it finished like 6 a.m., wasn't it? And I'm sitting there, and I'm young, strong, of course, so I have no problems there. So I'm sitting there, and actually I had to end up standing. You were too, remember? I had to stand. I just couldn't make it sitting down, So I'm standing there and praying, and yes, And then it's like 4 in the morning, and Brother Dusil says, yes, well, there's another topic I would like to open. Oh, no. And another one, And I start saying, what is in the man? You know what I mean? What is there, that made him run like this? I don't know, but I do believe he wasn't living by list. He was not living by list. Even though the list was big, I was offended there for a while, I sent him a fax. That was before emails, You remember fax, right? Okay. So I sent him a fax, And you know what? He didn't even bother replying. He did not even bother replying. So I was then a little offended there, back in Prague, and saying, well, okay. I mean, at least he could tell me he's not interested. You know what I mean? Well, anyway, I kind of forgave him, everybody has some weaknesses, I forgave Brother Dusil there, till I came to the house in Florida. We visited him, he was gone for a few hours out, we came and he had his fax machine, and we came home, and there was this long list on the floor, kind of rolled, and I said, oh, what is this? He says, we are gone for a few hours, and the list is there. And so we kind of there, and we try to resolve some of those, brother. But then in the morning we come and the list is there again. So I knew I was coming as one of, one of many and zillion, And I said, oh no. And I was so embarrassed that I even got offended. You know what I mean? This is our perspective. So I was thinking, what is this man and woman making to walk and run? We had them in our house, and we know how they suffer, especially Mavis. You know what I mean? It was not that they, that they would come for holidays and stuff. Each of the trips, especially the late ones, each was such a pain. You know what I mean? To overcome and things like this, things I still don't understand. I think Jesus is coming very short, so I will never understand them. Like Sister Mavis always said, how are you, and what is, it's all fine. And they had to, she says, Brother Dusil managed to put my feet in the shoe in the morning. What do you mean? Yeah, he helped me, and he managed, she was very blessed, that Brother Dusil managed to put her swallowed feet into shoes. And she says, you know, so now I have them on. And I said, well, you should take them off after lunch. Oh, no, brother. We would never put it back in the middle of the day. You know, I'll do it only for night, and in the morning, I hope we'll be successful again. You know what I mean? That's not my problem. You know what I mean? And we are sitting there, and then you ask, will you be at a meeting? Where else would I be? You know what I mean? How did you do in the night? Oh, it was very good. We are very blessed. Did you sleep? Oh, yes, we slept. How long did you sleep? Oh, well, actually, we slept about 3 times. What do you mean, 3 times? Well, between 2 and 3, and then between 5 and 5:30, and then 6:30 to 7. Are you serious? Don't you want to go back to bed? Oh, no. You know, I'll be at a meeting and God will refresh me. You know what I mean? Do you think they were running by a list? That somebody gave them, you know, somebody gave them a list? Or, like somebody would say, that they were trying to establish their ministry? What a joke. What a joke. You know what I mean? It can be said only by somebody who was never around. You know, establish ministry? What is it, ministry? Where is it? Where have you seen it? Oh, you know, we were... the funny thing about, you know, Brother Dusi, one of the things is the flow of finances. It kind of flew the wrong direction, you know. I mean, in normal ministry, you know, the finances should be flowing to the minister, shouldn't it? You know, not from the minister. You know what I mean? And especially in the early days when they were coming, he would be the first one who would try to help and reach and support. Once I remember, you know, we are talking about something, and I said, well, we would need a computer for it. You know, I says, yeah. He comes in the morning, says, you know, I was praying, but I think I'll need it. What do you mean? I'll need my computer. Yeah, of course. I wanted to give it to you, you know, but I prayed and I think I'll still need it. You will give me your notebook, your computer? Yeah, because you need it. You know what I mean? If God wouldn't stop him, he would have given me his computer. Not me, but to the fellowship, you know, to do some work. You know what I mean? What was driving him? His ministry. He wanted to protect his ministry. What a joke! You know what I mean? People come and, you know, when somebody said that there is an email, there is a letter or something, you know, coming your way, I said, no way. You know, I'm not afraid, because anybody who will look at it and read it, they'll laugh. They laugh and say, we know that man. That's a joke. You know what I mean? There's no way. Because there was a certain motivation. There was something in the man. And I picked Brother Dusil. I could have picked different people. Paul. Take Paul. Or take any of those. You know what I mean? The new wine has to come to the new vessel, to the new bottle. You know, we better change. You know, brethren, do you know what would be great? If you resign. You know, like if I could do it, as I said, for a day for you, I'd ask the Lord to do it. If you just resign and say, okay, God, I'm giving in. I'm giving up. I stop resisting. Take me and lead me. You know, and you would be free, and free indeed. Amen. Finally, you would enjoy all the things you're all the time looking for. You know, you would give up all your pride, because you know you're nothing anyway. And you are. I'm sorry to say that. I hope it's not a revelation for you, you know. But let's call it new revelation then, you know. Because if you don't have it, you're missing it. Honestly. You know, honestly. Paul confessed he's the chief sinner. You know what I mean? Paul, that is. Okay? So, if you give up, okay? If you give up, stop fighting and say, God, I don't want to fight anymore. I just want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want you to change me. And I want everything which I do to be motivated from my knowing you, relationship with you, and loving you. You know what I mean? Then your life, in a way, you would have more demands on you, and yet it would be so much lighter. And all the fight, all the discussions, all the fight among the brethren, all the things we should, shouldn't, must not, you know, all the offenses and all these things, they will become so small and insignificant. You know, like
when Jesus was being crucified and all these things were happening, you know, he didn't consider it a big thing. You know, pray for me, please pray for me. What did Jesus say? Don't pray for me. Don't be sorry for me. Pray for your young man, ladies. You know, he's there carrying the cross. You know what I mean? This is something which will change. But if you hear this, if you hear this word and say, oh no, another demand, they're making it even harder. They want even more. You're totally missing the point. And, you know, with all respect, it is very probable you will not be able to make it. You know what I mean? You will not be able to carry it. It's way too heavy. You know what I mean? If you don't have the heart of Christ, if you don't have the motive, and you are trying to fulfill all those things, you are back in the Old Testament. It's way too heavy. You can't carry it, brethren. You know, you can't stop. Let's stop pretending. You know, let's stop pretending and let's admit. Let's surrender. That's the word I'm looking for. Let's surrender. You know, let's admit who we really are. You know, let's admit our needs. Let's admit our lacks and sufficiencies. And then say, God, forgive me. And then let Him use us. You know what I mean? Let's stop fighting with God, with one another. You know, I mean, it's a waste of energy. We need it somewhere else. There was a list. There are demands there. And it was only one country which we presented here, Philippines. You know, I mean, if Brother Bird is speaking here, and not only him, Brother Jokes and others, and, you know, everybody here, many people traveling and going to places, I think this is what we should be speaking about. You know, this is what, if you go back to your tents, back to your houses, this is what should be the middle of your conversation. You know, how can we help? And maybe it's little, but that's the attitude. You know, a few girls in our fellowship recently, you know, they had an idea. They wanted to bless Philippines. They don't have any means. So they went. They found a place where they can for free pick cherries. So they organized it themselves. We only allowed them. You know, we didn't need to tell them. You know, we even hesitated there for a while if we want them to do it. But we said, we will not discourage it. So they picked cherries, made a jam out of it, you know, sold it in the church and earned $100, you know, for Philippines. It's maybe you say it's nothing. It's a lot. God will multiply it. It's a lot, because that's the heart, that's the attitude, you know. And it was not there, you know, demanding and saying, well, you should do this and you should do this and you should that, you know. No, it wouldn't do. It had to come from their conviction, you know. And actually, it was fun. They enjoyed it. They had a fun that day, you know what I mean. And some of the young kids, they are striving. They try to have fun. You can search as long as you want. You will not find it, unless you surrender and say, okay, maybe never in my life I'll have fun again. And you start serving the Lord, and then surprisingly, here and there, you have a better quality of fun you would have any other time. It's true. You know, God will take care of your needs even better than you could ever imagine. God will take care of your children even better than you could ever imagine. You are not taking things away from them. You're actually blessing them and blessing them by not allowing them to spoil their lives. You know what I mean? So, we could carry on and on. But I believe, maybe one last thought. I believe if we do not understand and we don't change, if we don't surrender, we will be suffering under a heavy yoke and blaming everybody around for bringing this word to us. Seriously. You will blame these guys, you know, who are preaching. It's all their fault. Because they are putting demands on you. And because the only way how you can overcome it, if you don't want to leave, okay, is to change. And I can guarantee when you change, surprisingly, the burden will become light. Amen. And one more thing. Maybe last thought at the end. We are speaking about the ultimate goal. And that's sonship, isn't it? You know, it's not slavery. It's not slavery. It's sonship. We want to become sons of God. Amen? Is it true? Yeah? We want to become sons of God, like Jesus Christ was. You know, all the demands we will take upon ourselves. But we have to study the relationship of the Father and of the Son. I was sitting on a plane. There's one thing where we differ with Brother Bert. I love planes. Maybe I don't have enough of them. I know he'll say that. Yes. you know, but I love playing because I'm kind of in my compartment. I can't do anything else. I cannot call. Even now they changed it. Now you can call from planes, you know. But I'm sitting there and I'm working on the computer, and finally all the things I wanted to do, you know, I wanted to read, and I can catch up on stuff. Maybe I will finally reply to some of your emails. Maybe, you know, sorry. But, you know, I was sitting there, I was writing, and the Lord was speaking to me about relationship between a father and son, relating to me and my son, but Father and Jesus, you know. And there are so many beautiful things we can learn from Father and the Son. And if you look at it, if you study in John particularly, you know, you see how close they were, how close the walk was. You know, Jesus, he would do, and he was assured that he pleases God. Once you'll be assured you please God, you will not need to please people, and you will stop fighting for positions and for things. You know, you will be assured in the Lord. You know, and when I see people fighting sometimes for a pulpit, or fighting for position, or fighting for recognition, or fighting for something, I say, oh God, reveal yourself to them. You know what I mean? Because once you know you've got God, once you know you are received by God and assured that your walk pleases Him, there will be no more need for you to go after your own recognition. You know what I mean? Again, in this one, you'll be free, and free indeed. Yeah. So, if our ultimate goal is to become sons of God, why don't we start walking with our Father? Why don't we start learning to know Him? Talk to Him. You know, follow Him. If you don't see Him, you can hardly follow Him. If you don't see what He's doing, you can hardly say it with Jesus, I do only what I see my Father doing. If you don't hear Him, how can you repeat what He says? And then, if not, you're left on your own with a task which is too big for you to carry. Amen? Let me pray for you. Let me pray for all of us. Okay? Father, I know you hear us. You are there, desiring even more than us, for us to walk uprightly. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, Father, when we don't see you the way you are. Forgive us, Father, where we have taken the religion upon ourselves. When we fake things, and when we put the right Christian things on us, and we still are lacking life, and we are looking for it. Forgive us when we have left you behind somewhere, and we are busy doing things. Forgive us, O Father, where we are fighting one another, not realizing what is your plan and what is your thinking, what is your mode of operation. God, I pray you would change our perspective. I don't pray, God, that there will be another job for us. I don't pray there will be other things which we would interpret and take as just another job to do. But I pray, God, that you would change our perspective. Help us to find you. Help us to fall in love with you. I pray for every single person who is here. And not only for those who are here, but maybe in particular for those who are not here and should be here. You know the names, oh God. I pray that you would visit them now. Visit them, O God, and speak to their hearts. Meet with them, O God. And I pray it would be your goodness that would bring them to repentance. Because, God, your goodness, if we see it, is bringing us repentance, as your scripture says. So I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to this fellowship, to each of one, you would reveal your goodness. Because we need to repent so badly and so much. So, God, help us to repent. Help us, God, to change. Help us to surrender. Help us, God, to stop pretending and stop faking and stop doing all these things which have no substance. And give us the real walk with you, God. Oh my God, we need your help and we ask you for it. We surrender. Be our God. Be our guide. Be our Lord. Be our friend. Be our Father. In the name of Jesus we pray, and we know, God, you hear us. Amen.
Touch this afternoon in my inward parts. Usually Saturday afternoons are sort of a difficult time, or should say afternoon meetings. Yeah, it's Sunday, I know that. But, you know, in this conference, God is doing something very mighty. He is building. And you know, when you hear a message and a response, and I believe the prayer that Brother Martin said was more than complete. But I want to at least to admonish us all, or to encourage us all to keep in meditation all what God is saying. You know, even between as we break for this meeting, and have a light meal or a light snack for what God has for tonight. You know, that we keep ourselves and our heart in that place, so that when we gather here tonight and we begin to worship Him, we can be in a place that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, God is saying, come up higher. You know, we need to be changed. You can't come up higher if we're not changed. We cannot, and when I think of coming up higher or being changed, if I remain human, I'm going to be on this earth. The only way of being lifted up is if I become divine. I can't, my humanity cannot rise in the heavens. So, praise be to God. I want new wine. I need new wine, and it's got to be in new wineskins. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I know it's 10 after 5, and the meeting's at, what, 6:30? So, is it ready, Sue? 10 minutes? Okay. Well, yes. Brother Jijoki, you have something? Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, the conference, I really believe it is very pivotal for all of us. You know, I just know where I need to be, and it's higher ground. And I find that the more God opens doors, it's all designed to bring us up higher. And everything else that we can do for God is really secondary, but it's really working inside of us something that brings about a change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm being changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. You have something, Brother Mark, that you wanted to say?
apology. I didn't bring the book, so it isn't going to take long. I've been thinking a lot about some of the things that Bert has been saying concerning spiritual warfare, and something that we heard a lot about 10, 12 years ago, but we seem to have forgotten about spiritual warfare. And the thing that I'm thinking about a lot, about what it's not just, I won't just blame Bert, it's what God is saying. Duciel said it, we've said it many times, that hearing again what Brother Campbell shared with us about what is happening in the world, do we really believe that the sons of God are going to have to stand in the gap and stop the forces of darkness? And I'm thinking, you know, okay, we did our spiritual warfare, we did that, we proved that, we now we're on to something else. I don't think so, and I don't think that's where we should be. I'm going to just give you an example of where I got reminded again of what can we do in spiritual warfare. You've been reading the news. I live in New York State. And you read what happened a week ago Friday. But where I live, I turn the news on in the morning, hear what's going on. And for 1 week before the legislature closed, every time, every half hour, it doesn't matter when, you would turn the news on, they would say, well, is the legislature going to pass this same-sex marriage this year? Will that be on the agenda? Will it pass? Oh, there's only two or three Republican senators. Will they change their mind? And finally, it caught me, and I thought, God, every time I hear that, and every time when I don't hear that, I'm going to start turning on some spiritual warfare. I'm going to resist that devil. And I began to do so. And I went out in the yard, and I began to do things that I have to do to prepare for the coming winter, and the wood pile and what have you, you know, the grass, what have you. And every time it came to me, and I had another sister, Nancy, called me about that time, and she says, Bert is asking me to call you. He wants prayer concerning A, B, C, and Ethiopia. And I said, okay. I need to be quickened. I need to have that life of who we are and what ability we have. And of course, I began praying for Bert. And of course, we saw some tremendous answers to the prayer. But then I said, no, I'm going down there into the halls of the state legislature, and Lord, I am specifically saying, I'm asking you to send warring angels. I'm asking you to send Michael. And I am holding up the hands of these angels to stop this wickedness. Amen. I said, Lord, I don't know if I've got the power, but I'm going to find out. And I'm going to ask. And I'm going to ask every half hour. And every time that those radio people, I mean, they were just pushing the thing. Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Come on, shut up about it. No, they had to keep pushing it. I said, all right, every time you push it, I'm going to push it. And I'm going to push back. And I'm saying, I resist this devil. I resist in the name of Jesus. And so then they finally said, okay, the legislature is going to shut down on Friday. That's going to be it. But you know what? They went for another week. And every half hour again. Every half hour. I said, I'm fighting it for another week. And finally I said, God, they passed it. They bought some people off. One of the times on the radio they said, there has been more money come in here in the last 2 weeks than we have ever seen. Buying them off is what they were doing. And I thought, pretty brave of you to make that statement on the radio. They never said it again. They only said it once. But we were fighting. And you know what? I don't know if other people were fighting. I know that there were people down there that were fighting in the flesh. I heard that too. They said the halls are crowded, screaming and yelling and harassing these senators and these legislators. One of them said, we've received... They told how many thousand emails that had been coming in every hour to these people. I said, no, I'm not sending emails. I'm not calling them. I'm calling on the heavens. Now, did we fight it off for 1 week? And then I'm wondering, maybe we did. But suppose there were more in agreement that we were going to go to the heavenlies. Could we not stop it? Shall I say I did a little experiment? I think we pushed off. I could feel the resistance. In my mind's eye, I could see the demons fighting down there. I could see the conflict with angels. What were we doing? We were releasing angelic heavenly power in places where I could never go. And I believe, brethren, as we come into these times that we know are coming, we're going to have to know the authority that we have. You know, okay, we don't have it all. Why don't we have it all? And I know that Jesus said in Matthew, or in Revelation chapter 11, I'm going to say Jesus said, because He's the one that said it. He said, I will give power. Amen? And that word power is not dunamis, but it's exousia. I will give authority. And you know what? Sooner or later, we're going to have to discover what we've got. And I think the time is rushing out. I'm just saying this. I don't know whether you feel like you've got it or not. But I think gird up the loins of your mind, because we're going to have to start using it. There isn't going to be any other way that we're going to make. This wickedness that I saw come in, swept in with the power of Satan. I think Satan himself was down there. And then the governor is gloating and bragging about it. He was behind it. Catholic governor. His father was governor. And bragging about it. But then, the thing that encouraged me, after it was all over and supposedly the dust had settled, then they brought in one of their female champions and interviewed her for a few minutes on the radio. And you know what she said? She said, our battle is only started. It isn't over. And I thought, oh yeah? And I had been thinking, might as well give up. You lost it, buddy. And it's just like the Lord reminded me, no, you haven't lost it. Maybe you lost one round, but they say their battle isn't over. They say they're just beginning. What do we say? Are we going to fight? And are we going to fight by the Spirit? God bless. Just a little something that I wanted to add while I was here.
Well, let us pray. We will be back in an hour or thereabouts. Man, we've got a sizable chunk to chew up and swallow. You know, we really need to chew it up and meditate and chew it up again, ruminating on what we've heard, that it might become a part Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the diligence of our young ladies that are preparing something for us food-wise. For the young men that are working, putting their hands to that plow, let the blessing of God be upon them. Lord, thank you for this food. We pray that you would cleanse it, sanctify it to our bodies to thy will. And God, give us that refreshment that when we come back tonight, we can be ready yet again to receive another morsel, that we can be equipped for the battle that Brother Mark is talking about. Thank you again, Lord, for your goodness. We love you, we bless you, we thank you for all that you have given us, and we still have an expectation for that which is yet to come. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. 6:30.